afternoon. Wow, this room has really cleared out. We really are blessed with lots of children, aren't we? There's some, I don't know whether to give it a few minutes and see if anyone wants to come back.
Yeah,
here they come. Yes. So, starting this afternoon and over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about a few key principles which we, as the leadership team, believe to be quite helpful pictures of the way that we, the church, do things and would like to continue to do things. Each week, we're going to emphasize one particular principle and talk about why that's a necessary part of church life, how it underpins the things that we do, and the things that we seek to do moving forward, and how we as individuals and as a church together can engage with that. So, I have to say that we're not at this stage unveiling a vision statement. This is not the ta-da moment where we say, this church is all fireworks and some wonderful statements that we can all sort of, you know, give a big yay, a big resounding yay to. We're not presenting a vision statement. Actually, what we're looking at today, talking about these kind of principles, is really more about our values than it is about our vision. Okay, visions and values are quite similar and they're kind of intertwined, but there is a bit of a subtle difference, and I'm going to just try and sort of explain it. So, vision statements are by design kind of inspirational and aspirational statements about like a glimpse of what the future could be and should be. It's talking like in a church, it would be like, this is where we're headed, this is what we're aiming for. For a company, it's much the same thing. It's for a company, it might be, you know, we're going to have a huge stake in, you know, market share, etc. It's aspirational and it's inspirational. It's something that people can buy into, something that people go, yes, I believe in that. You know, this is where we're headed, we're going to get there. That's your vision statement. Okay. Whereas our values reflect more about who we actually are, not where we're going, but who we are and how we do things. So that's kind of more like where we're operating this afternoon and over the next couple of weeks. It's really talking about how we do things rather than where we're going or what that ultimate vision is. So yeah, the vision says this is where we're headed, our values say this is who we are and how we do things. So whilst we're not unveiling a mission statement, you know, this isn't sort of that traditional kind of first week in January talk, this is what we're going to do for the year ahead, this is going to be our vision for the year ahead. We're not doing that stuff. Please don't think that we as a church don't have a vision for the church. Okay? On the contrary, our vision has been shaped over many, many years by many, many things, including quite a few sort of fairly strong, encouraging prophetic words. So we feel that God has emphasized certain things and spoken certain promises over us as a church, and that's what has shaped our vision to this point in time, and that will continue to be our vision. In fact, a vision statement for a church is kind of a little bit unnecessary, because actually all churches receive the same great commission from Jesus. We've all been given the same commandment, the same mission statement. So Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. That is known as the Great Commission. That is what our church, that is what every church, every individual Christian has been called to do by Jesus. So we don't necessarily need to rewrite and come up with a fancy vision statement, because actually we've got that vision. This is what we and all churches are called to do. So like most other churches, if not all other churches, we want to see the gospel of Jesus spread in our community. We want to see people saved and added. We want to be a force for social justice, okay, to stick up for those who don't have a voice or are oppressed. Okay, we want to be a place of sanctuary for people who need it. We want to be able to support the poor and the people who are in need. And we want to see our congregation, our church, grow in spiritual maturity. So in terms of sanctification, that gradual process from the point of salvation, you know, to our dying day, where we're actually day by day we're getting more and more like Jesus. Okay, we're learning to live lives that are more like Jesus' life. That sanctification process and the increased expression of spiritual gifts and evidenced by the fruits of the Spirit amongst us. Okay, we as a church, those are things that we want to see, more and more. We want to see that that is our vision, and that all comes from that Great Commission. It's actually something that all churches really should be signing up to. Every church, of course, does tailor that particular vision to do to reflect their own circumstances and their own needs and their own objectives that they feel called to in their own communities. So it's not improper or incorrect for a church to have a vision statement. It's fine, but ultimately, all of those things should essentially be emphasising just different parts of our Great Commission. Okay. So I've just said that. In New Life, our vision has been influenced by some of those key prophetic words, which if you've been around the block a few times here, you'll have heard us talk about the fact that we are called to be a pillar of praise. Okay, that's a big one for us. We will see a harvest among young people. That is also a very big one for us, and sort of and that influences a lot of our strategies in terms of the things that we do, where we put our efforts and our resources. Has been, look at the last few years in particular, if you look at things like the attic, things like TOTS, things like the youth groups and things. And we've seen through that. So those prophetic words that God has kind of spoken over us, that we in the church have really weighed and tested and feel very strongly about, those things have shaped our vision. So that's why we don't feel like we need to sort of turn up and say, okay, it's January, let's publish this year's vision statement and kind of go with that. What we do want to do is to talk about some of the principles that we think are going to be very key for us, both now and kind of moving forward. And those principles, again, talk more about how we do things rather than what particular objectives we might have for the next 12 months or 5 years or whatever. So the first of those we're going to look at this afternoon, we're calling preparing the soil. Okay, so. Our first principle is that we should be preparing the soil. So what does that mean? If you recall, and I'm sure you will, the parable of the sower, Jesus spoke about a farmer sowing seeds across the field, and the growth of those seeds was dependent upon the state of the soil where it landed. Okay, so in that parable, the soil represents us, not, as I always used to think of it as a kid when I was taught these things, in school and in Sunday school and things, I still think, right, well, clearly it's talking with the different seeds, and God casts us in different places and then whatever. But actually, now, as you reread it, you realise actually that we are the soil. We're the soil, and our position affects how fruitful God's word can be in and amongst us, and how fruitful we're therefore we can be. So the soil represents each one of us and warns us that various factors might prevent God's word from being productive and from taking root. Okay, so if we are shallow or dry, or if we have competing interests, sort of that picture of certain seeds cast amongst weeds and things where the weeds just choke the life out of it, if we don't have room for God's word to take root within us sufficiently, if we're in a dry area, we're just not good at sort of catching up the water to help the seed grow, then we will not be as productive, we will not be as fruitful. So, in the same way as that parable, spoke to us. We believe that in every endeavour for us as a church, we should seek to prepare the soil so that our words and our actions might be at most effective. Okay, that we can be as effective as possible. And preparing the soil for all that we do, as I say, is one of those key principles that we want to emphasise today. Now, there's several ways I can think of that we can apply that within the church, okay? Such as evangelism. So for instance, we can prepare the soil for evangelism by living Christ-like lives so that the people around us, our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues, will see that actually there's something different about us because of what we believe, because of because of who we are, because of the way that we live our lives. There's something authentic when we then speak into those situations and share the gospel and plant those seeds. Okay, so we can prepare the soil by virtue of the way that we live our lives, and that prepares the soil for fruitful evangelistic conversations that you might have at the garden gate or in the greengrocers. But also, we can prepare the soil, if you like, in terms of worship or in terms of teaching. So, for us, when we as a team kind of come together and decide, okay, what are we going to talk about, preach about, speak about for the next 6 month block or whatever, however we carve up our calendar for the year, we're thinking about, okay, so what messages do we want to convey? What messages do we feel that the church needs to hear at the moment? And so we are preparing the soil. We provide the teaching, which we hope is going to be helpful and encouraging for you guys, and will help you, you know, to clear out the soil and to make sure that you are as ready as not to catch those seeds and to see God's will grow. And worship, I think, was the other one that I just mentioned. So, you know, just preparing ourselves. So if we know we're going to come along on a Sunday afternoon and we're going to have a time of worship together, then actually just taking some time just to prepare and to pray and to put those things in the world aside so that we know that we're stepping into that time of worship. So that we don't take 20 minutes to sort of get warmed up for worship and then somehow we find that the last song's been finished and we have to sit down again. But preparing, you know, thinking ahead, getting ready for those kind of things can also be useful. However, having mentioned those two or three areas, the most important way and the key emphasis for us this afternoon is prayer. Okay, prayer is the best way for us to prepare the soil. Prayer is the key message today for us to be thinking about. The key principle for us as a church moving forward is developing a persistent and a powerful and effective prayer life. So, why is prayer necessary? Well, prayer is one of the main things that we see in Jesus' ministry. Okay, so if you think about the Gospels, you think about Jesus' ministry, you think about his teaching, you think about the signs and wonders that he performed, and we see him time and time again praying, maybe retreating to a quiet place to pray, him encouraging the disciples to pray with him, admonishing them for not praying with him when they're falling asleep. He teaches us how to pray. So prayer is a huge chunk of what we see in Jesus' life. And so in all that we do, we say, don't we, quite often, that we want to be Christ-centered. Okay, Jesus is at the heart of everything and should be at the heart of everything that we do as a church and should be number one, our number one influence as Christians. But one of Jesus' biggest elements, that's not good. One of the biggest elements of Jesus' character was that he found the time to pray. Often, frequently, and sometimes at length. And so if that's a big deal for Jesus and we want to be like Jesus, then it should be a big deal for us. Okay. Jesus encouraged us to pray. In fact, there was the passage where Jesus, the disciples are looking to do a sign and wonder and sort of cast out evil spirit, and Jesus says, well, no, you know, you foolish ones, you know, this one only comes out with prayer. You know, you need to be praying. There's certain things that you cannot do without prayer. And he certainly encourages us to pray very frequently. He told us to do it, so we should do it. Okay, so that's the first point. Why is prayer necessary? Well, because we want to be like Jesus. Jesus prayed. He told us to pray. It's not working for us. We should pray. So, the next point I just wanted to kind of go through with you is how that we as a church have seen prayer make a difference. So over the last several years, there's been several situations where we as a church have come together to pray, typically in our Sunday meetings and to encourage small groups to pray, about new ventures and new things that we've been moving into. Including new forms of outreach, and we have seen successes in those areas. So we've been looking back and saying, okay, when we started up the attic, and I'm using a very generous we there because I wasn't particularly involved in that, but from the point of view of the church, even if we weren't involved in terms of actually kind of running those particular events, we were certainly we bought into what was going on. We wanted to see that succeed, and we poured into it in prayerful support. Okay, so we prepared the soil for that particular venture. So that was when the attic was first launched, and then again when the team went into the high school to invite kids from across the town. Okay, we prayed an awful lot at that point as well, and then when we ran the Just Looking series, maybe that was 2 years later or something, and we throughout that whole period of time. And all of those key junctures, we were really emphasising prayer, that everybody within the church, whether they were involved in a hands-on way with the attic, they could pray, they could be involved, they could engage themselves in terms of what's going on, they could ask God to bless those situations and to protect those situations and to look after the kids, so we wouldn't have people breaking ankles or bits and pieces like that. we pray for the leaders and the helpers, we pray that those sessions might be fruitful, opportunities to talk to the kids about Jesus and to share the gospel, and all of those things happened. And that was something that was soaked in prayer. And if you think a little bit later than that, you think about TOTS, the parent cafe, we took very much the same approach to that as well. We asked you guys to pray when those events were first launched, and to continue to do so whenever they go. And we will continue to do that, because those events are still running, and they are still, they're still things that we obviously want God to have his hand upon, and to see those to continue to be fruitful. So we pray for their success, and I think it's fair to say that they've been very successful, and for those events to be a blessing to our community, and again, for seeds to be sown into people's lives, for people who attend them. And again, all of those things have happened and continue to happen because we've invested our prayers into seeking God's blessing on them. And as we've already just referred to, we're going to have an update on, if you look back over the last 12 months, the main thing that we've been praying for, both corporately and in small groups, and encouraging you guys to pray individually, is for this wisdom building. We've been on quite a journey with this building. Sometimes it's been very slow, sometimes it's felt like a bit of a brick wall right in front of us and not quite sure how we're going to get around it. But at every step we've been praying for God's wisdom and for God's blessing and for him to guide us to the right place. And it feels like we're very close to it. In fact, we're kind of edging closer every day, to the point where I'm almost nervous to say it. Because, again, to an extent, we've invested so much in prayer, there's so much on the line that I'm really reluctant to say, yeah, we've got the building, because we're not actually in it yet, but at the same time, it also feels like that's a lack of faith, because we have invested so much time and so much effort and so much energy and belief and faith into it. Actually, we should be, yeah, absolutely, roaring to the heavens and, giving thanks and, feel like we've won the day, won the battle. Anyway, that's a slight aside. But persistent prayer has helped us prepare the soil for all of those ventures. And many, many more that I've not thought about, or not written down, or not had time to go through today. And that's why we think it's crucial that we want to adopt that same principle in everything that we do moving forward. Okay, that we should sow things in prayer whenever we feel called to do something significant. We should pray about that. We should pray that they happen, that they have the necessary impact, that these things are going to be fruitful for God. Okay. So the third bit about preparing the soil, how can we do this moving forward? Well, actually, I hope I've just said that, so I want to move on. We're going to continue encouraging you guys to pray. Okay, we're going to continue to pray on a Sunday afternoon, or when we get our new building, on a Sunday morning. We will continue to, to build in those opportunities for corporate prayer and encourage, everybody really to sort of get on board with all of that. Okay, because it's been successful in the past. We want to be like Jesus, and Jesus told us to do it, so we're going to do it. Okay. So, and we will encourage the church to embed prayer into everything that we do, from small groups, and prayer meetings, and worship events, and trustees meetings, and elders meetings, and for you as individuals, your private, personal prayer life as well. So if there's ways that we can support people or help people with that, then that's what we're going to be looking into. We're going to try and support you there. Right, good news, we're on the last page. That is, it's a long page. So finally then, how can we as individuals and as a church, as a group, how can we engage with this? How can we prepare the soil? Now, if I'm honest, I said earlier that vision statements are quite aspirational. They're where we want to be and not where we are. And value statements really are kind of talking about who we are and how we do things. And actually, there is an aspirational element to preparing the soil, to having prayer and persistent, effective prayer as a core part of who we as a church are. Because I'm not sure if we were able somehow to cut the church in half, like a stick of rock, break it in half, and look at the core principles that are written through us, if you follow my analogy, I'm not certain that prayer would necessarily be one of those things already. But we want it to be. We feel like, we certainly believe that it can be, and we certainly feel like it should be. So I'm not saying that this is where we are and we can just rest on our laurels because, hey, we, you know, we managed to pray this building into position. You know, we managed to pray for the attic and that one specifically, so we're, you know, we're fine. Actually, looking back over the 22 years that I've been here, there have been times when our appetite for prayer as a church has been a little lacking. So, and there are people who are no longer with us in the church. John, as Carol's already mentioned today, Mary Birch, who have been real prayer warriors. I was thinking about John earlier this week because preparing for this, I was thinking about our old, we used to have, the elders used to have a I can't remember, what do we call it in? The ridiculously early morning prayer meetings. Yeah, which, I mean, was just basically an opportunity for Ian Willis, who liked to get up early, to punish Ian and himself. And then John used to drive over, like a 25-minute drive, to come and join us, just for fun, because he's a little, it's like, you know. But, you know, people in the church who have been with us for years and years and years, who were absolute prayer warriors. Again, Mary Birch, who attended every prayer meeting, and she'd be the... Yeah, she'd be at those. I've been at prayer meetings where it was only me and Mary Birch, but she would definitely be there. So, you know, there are times in our history where we have not been particularly good in terms of our appetite for prayer. And I don't know that Ian and myself were able to really crack that nut and sort of really kind of find new strategies and new ways to really encourage that element. I think we have improved, and certainly the examples that we've given. Show that actually that there is appetite and hunger there, and that the church is very willing to pray for things, particularly when we've got something particular to pray for, when there's a particular vision, particular event, particular thing that we want God to do something with, then actually we can get together. And so this is still aspirational. We're not at the moment, I wouldn't necessarily say that the system element of a powerful and effective prayer is not necessarily one of our core ingredients, but it can be, and it should be, and we'd like it to be. Now, having said that, as a slight aside, the best prayer meeting I ever went to was one where no one else turned up at all, not even Mary Birch. Because God grabbed me by the scruff of the neck, I read the Bible, he spoke to me through it, we did some business, and it just transformed my life, really. But that's not to say that I want every prayer meeting there. Everyone where you guys don't turn up. Okay? It was a great one-off, a great demonstration of the fact that God can do all sorts of things that you're not expecting. But actually, you know, our prayer strategies as a church, you know, we want them to be effective. We want to help you guys to discover the love and the effectiveness of prayer, so that we can be more effective and more fruitful in all that we do as a church. Now, I was done all this in the previous one order. Where am I? Okay. So, yeah, our challenge is the leadership team is to encourage the church in prayer at every opportunity and for us to come up with new strategies to help our church members to engage with prayer and see the benefits of robust prayer life and to opt in, therefore, whenever we pray for new ventures. And so those things that we're learning, actually, that it is more effective for us to have a prayer meeting when there is something to pray about rather than saying, right, we're going to have a prayer meeting, nothing's going on at the moment, let's have a prayer meeting. People go, well, nothing's going on at the moment, I've got to stay at home and, you know, watch the telly, have a coffee, and, you know, sort of actually just have an early night or something. And we need to learn from the things that have worked well. So actually, over this last year, what seems to have engaged people quite a bit is doing prayer walks, because the building required us, we felt, was a good opportunity for us to go and walk around near the building. And even before that, when we were handing out flyers saying, you know, we're looking for premises, you know, we would go out and pray and walk for those things. So there was a prophetic word that was spoken at the church many, many years ago by a chap called Jeremy Hensel, where he talked about prayer strategies, strategies for prayer walking might be key to our outreach and evangelism in years to come. And we've done little bits and pieces here and there with that over the years, and maybe that's something that we're going to sort of see develop a little bit more. So, watch this space, you know, there may be further opportunities for prayer walks as we continue to pray for the building, because we're going to keep praying until we're in it. But also, other things, as they come up, other ventures that, you know, we might want to get involved in, other new ministries, etc. Actually, actually we're going to then have to come up with some strategies to give people a chance to participate in kind of prayer so that we can really prepare the soil in that way. If, as church members, you're wondering how you can get involved or what we want you to do, it's quite easy. So, when we pray together on a Sunday, pray, just as you did earlier, okay? So, corporate prayer is not about listening to whoever's got the microphone, thank goodness. It's a chance for us to all come together and petition our Heavenly Father. And therefore, if you feel confident enough to pray out loud, fantastic, please do so. It's often a great encouragement to everyone else. But if you're not, you can still pray. Just focus on what it is, focus on your prayers and just pray to God. Because He can still hear it. You don't need to speak it out loud in order for God to understand what it is that you're asking. Okay, so corporate prayer is fantastic because it just gives an opportunity, quite often in fairly short bursts, we can all just pray. And that's a lot of prayers going. Okay. And then when we get together, we might have a longer time of prayer for particular issues. Again, that just amplifies and it builds up. The amount of prayer going on, and just really just kind of gives that sign to God actually that we really want Him to act with us. So when we pray together, pray. Don't just sort of stand around thinking, well, I don't know, should I pray out loud, should I not? Or just worry about other things. It's actually when we pray together, pray. Please pray. Join a small group. Okay. If you've already in a small group, join with God. Mixed up a bit. If you can get to the Thursday evening prayer groups that Neil and Paul have been running, please do that. Okay. If you can get to the worship and prayer events, do so. Okay. The worship events that we've been on as a worship team. I think the first one was kind of primarily sort of worship folk, and then we opened it up so that the small groups are all invited to come along to that. It's just a fantastic time just to sort of basically sing some worship songs, but inevitably there's prayer going on there as well. And so it's a great way of preparing the soil for what it is that God's going to store for us. Okay. If you can get to a prayer walk, absolutely do so. It's got all the advantages for a prayer meeting, but you're also walking, so you're a little bit warmer. It keeps you fitter. It also gives you a chance just to actually get out and sort of see the town. So, why not? And lastly, no, it's not lastly actually. If you meet up with other church folk during the week for a coffee and a chat, as you may well do, and I would encourage you to do, it's good for fellowship and getting to know one another. Pray with them. Just take the opportunity just to pray together. So, all of those different things that you can do to get involved in prayer and to build up your own prayer life and our corporate time of prayer. But most importantly, please commit yourself to building up your own private prayer life. So take a couple of minutes at various points throughout the day just to say a quick prayer. That's all it takes. It's not rocket science prayer. If you're new to this, you're not quite sure how to pray, or you just feel awkward praying, just go to the Gospels, read the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, when you pray like this. And if you can't think of anything else to say, just go through the Lord's Prayer. It's a fantastic starting point. If there's something specific going on in the church that we've asked you to pray for, then say a quick prayer one week, or everyone. Okay. If not, then maybe say a quick prayer for people in your small group who might be struggling at the moment for one reason or another, or might be unwell and might need a bit of healing. Say a quick prayer for your families, for your friends, or for your colleagues, or for your neighbours, or whatever's going on. Just have those regular moments of prayer throughout the day, because the more comfortable and the more confident we are in terms of just bringing things to God, and that being our first thought rather than our 15th thought, as it sometimes itself is, then actually the more that our prayers will be effective. Turning to God as our first response to things is a demonstration to Him that we take this very seriously. It's not the last resort. It's actually saying, God, I know that you can do this, and I'm going to turn to you. So when we then say to you as a church, okay, brilliant, we're in, okay, we've got the building, we just need that money, that we need to pray for that, you'll know that you can do it. And in those sort of 2 minutes slots during the day, it will be so comfortable, so easy for you to just say, Lord, will you just help the council pass that money and so we can have that building. Okay. So, building up the prayer life, we will prepare the soil for the events to come. And that's
one of the things we want to focus on for this year and for the future.
Cheers. James, I should ask you about two minutes ago.
Sorry.
And prayer. And pray. It would be a bit dark, wouldn't it, for me to stand here and pray prayer for 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yeah. 40 minutes, whatever it is. And then not to ask you guys all to stand up and pray just a bit. So if you're willing, if you'd like to, will you just stand up and we will pray and we'll hand over for a couple of seconds. Lord, we thank you for Jesus' example, and we want to be Christ-centered. We want to be Jesus Christ-focused. As Christians, as a church together, Lord God, we want to live our lives as you live yours, Lord Jesus. So in your example, as someone who would persistently come back to the Father to petition and to pray, Lord God, help us to imitate that. Lord God, help us to learn from that example and to follow that example. Myself included, and what happened. Very much so, but all of us, Lord God, that we might be able to build our prayer lives and to see such fruit come from that. Lord God, that you might be our first thought and our first thought. Lord God, that